Juan Soto, Delo Mio. Look at Manny laughing. Bro, you are not Dominican. Hey, but I'll be in the X, and I'll be with the Dominicans. I can pass for Dominican. Before I had this long hair, I had the fade with the mohawk. They thought I was in there. Delo Mio. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Juan Soto is a Yankee. Just reminding everybody, Juan Soto is a Yankee. Giancarlo Stanton said, we need him back. We got to win this, but we need him back. I saw Juan Soto's dad in full Yankee gear, smiling, happy. And yeah, that song that you just heard from El Alfa, Nueva York, 22, Yankee, why would you mess that up? Why would you mess that up? Remington is in Manhattan. Remington, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith.
Hey.
I'll tell you, hey, your mother raised a real mensch. You should have her on the show sometime.
What's a mensch?
A mensch is a real man of humility, honor, integrity, that kind of thing.
Okay. I just Googled that
real quick. Which you have in spades, my man. Which you have in spades. But getting back to Soto, when I saw that home run the other night, just reminded me of a Picasso painting. I mean, he painted a portrait of a great hitter. And this guy, when he's at bat, this guy's playing chess when everybody else is playing checkers.
Yes,
I think he could have beaten who's that famous great chess player? Bobby Fischer would have been proud.
I wouldn't have guessed that name.
It doesn't matter. But look him up on Wikipedia. It's amazing. Maybe the greatest chess player of all time. But the point is, I know it's hyperbolic, but let me tell you something. I've been watching baseball a long time. Because generally speaking, I'm a baseball fan, but specifically a big Yankees fan and specifically Judge. I'm a big Judge guy. But I'll tell you, they complement each other so well.
Yeah.
I mean, batting second and third. Everything is, it's like the perfect world. And, I don't know. There's a God, man, and I believe in him. And I'll tell you, Keith, God bless. Let's go, Yankees.
Great call, Remington. I believe in God and the universe and the baseball gods. When Soto had that at bat and he made the last out, I tweeted, I said, the baseball gods are with us for a change. Like, the baseball gods are with us. Like, if you didn't watch that at bat against Hunter Gaddis and know that, like, Soto was not going to lose in that moment. Watch the series. When I was on Thursday night, I told you guys, right? I've watched him all season, more than I ever have. He controls the game. He knows he can affect the game. His at-bats, he is in control. And some people might not like the shuffle. When he wasn't on my team, I didn't like the shuffle. But I understand what it is. It's part of the chess game. It's intimidation. It's also him keeping his weight under him, his balance. And Hunter Gaddis was cooked. Like, Austin Wells works a walk. Verdugo just tried to ground into a double play. The baseball gods were with us. They couldn't field it. I'm sitting there like, yo, this is happening. Juan Soto comes up, and he knows what this guy is going to throw. He knows what this guy is going to try and do. And he himself said, I was all over it. He was on everything. A 7-pitch at bat. Slider. Ball. Slider. Called strike. He's just nodding like, okay, like I'm seeing this. Slider. Foul. Changeup. On that too. Try it again. Changeup. On that too. He fouls these 4 pitches off slider, basically saying, you are going to have to throw your fastball somewhere in or around the zone. And when you do, game. And when you see a guy play like that, that's a dog. When you see a guy play like that in those moments, I don't mean to throw Judge under the bus, but I'm waiting for Judge to have that dog killer instinct, that dog mentality, where in this moment, I'm going to dog you. And I think that Soto takes it personal when they intentionally walk Judge, but they face him. I think he takes it personal that, like, they actually even, it's like an insult. You're going to pitch to me with the game on the line. And I'm telling you, after watching the Yankees lose that game where he had the pitch clock violation and he got rang up on some nonsense where he could not affect the game, where they took the bat out of his hands, I knew. I bet it, but I parlayed it like an idiot. I should have put all the money on Juan Soto first homer in game 4, and I should have doubled up the next day. Because I knew from watching him all year, even when he was in his little slumps, games that he didn't do anything, I forget which game it was. I think it was the White Sox game, where he put on a show, right? But the Yankees lose to the White Sox, and we get embarrassed. The whole Yankee universe humiliated. And I think Meredith reports that Juan Soto showed up early to the batting cage to get his work in. And then he went nuts the next game. He couldn't stop homering. He's like that. And you pay a guy like that. You don't let a guy like that leave because that can lead to winning. He literally can affect the game. It ain't going to be $700 million, folks. It's not. And I was on foul territory and I said, Hal Steinbrenner's got the money. And people laughed and said, Hal Steinbrenner doesn't have the money. I think you're dense if you think that Hal Steinbrenner and the New York Yankees don't have the money to pay Juan Soto. But that's not really for us to worry about today. 888-808-1019. The focus is on winning the World Series. And then we'll figure out the offseason and the future. But all credit to the generational Juan Soto. Game one of the ALDS, WFAN came to the bleachers for roll call, and I'm wearing a Juan Soto jersey. I had so many conversations with people. They were like, who's going to be the X Factor? We all knew Stanton was going to show up. But I'm like, Juan Soto, this is his first Yankees postseason. He's going to make a difference. He's going to make a huge difference. Even if Judge is struggling, Juan Soto will break through. Watch out for 22. He did it. David is out on Long Island on the Fan in New York. What's up, David?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm good. I'm watching the Knicks. They were down by like 20-something in the first quarter. I'm just going to leave it alone till later in the night. We'll see what happens with that.
So, I mean, one, you are going to find your way there because that's just how this works. and then you're going to find your way into Dolphin. You're sitting right by me, and that's how that works.
Yeah.
So let's just call it what it is. Listen, we've been saying this for a long time, and Soto is the perfect balance for Judge and for the Yankees. You can look at the way they break down data. You know, like if you think about the at bat that Soto had in the CS and that home run, and if you go back to 2022 when Judge faced Jordan Romano and took that home run to the walk off, I remember I was with Willie Randolph the next day, and Willie said, I knew Judge had him on pitch two.
Mm.
They just sit there and they found their pitch and they're going to foul off everything until they get the ball that they want, and a guy either throws a fastball to Soto or hangs the slider to Judge, and they park it. And them having each other is the perfect balance to work off each other and analyze the data and attack it. And I think, to me, that's why they're going to win this thing.
Yeah, I just don't think that the Dodgers have the pitching. It's funny, I was listening to WFAN, and people were, you know, be careful what you wish for, saying we want the Dodgers. They don't have the pitching that the Padres have. And I watched those games, and I watched Flaherty, and I watched Walker Buehler, who had a terrible showing in the Padres series and figured it out in Queens. And I watched their bullpen games, and I watched Yamamoto, and I'm like, our lineup versus their pitching, our pitching versus their lineup, I think the Yankees have the upper hand in that regard. We'll see how it plays out. But, like, I'm not so worried about how, you know, our Gleyber Torres, Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, and if they put Stanton for or whoever else, like, I'm not so worried about how those guys are going to fare against who the Dodgers are throwing out against them.
It's also, like, if you look at the Yankee at-bats from the ALCS, they work these pitchers. They work every at-bat, even ones where they get out. They're working guys. So eventually, when you get to game five or game six, you've seen these relievers two, three, four times, you're going to find your holes. Gleyber has been unbelievable. Amazing. Back to being old Gleyber, going the other direction, working an AB.
Leading off, like, Gleyber being this version of himself after he struggled as a leadoff hitter early in the season. We had to put Volpe there, and then, like, for him to come back and just have it figured out, he's been great working walks, knocks, a homer, like you said, seeing pitches. Yes, they wear these pitchers down. Starting pitchers, they're wearing them down. Bullpen guys, like, these guys are shook facing the you know, top of the Yankees lineup. The bottom part of the order, you know, whether it's Jazz or whether it's Verdugo or Wells finally breaking through, they got to pick it up. Volpe has been solid through this postseason. I'm not so worried about them because of how they fared. And you can't tell me that the Royals, who had Seth Lugo and Cole Reagans and Michael Wacha and a decent bullpen, and you can't tell me, like, the Guardians, who had one of the top bullpens and Matthew Boyd, and you can't tell me that they had a cakewalk. Those guys are solid pitchers.
I think you said it. I mean, the reality is that when you look at Cleveland and you look at Kansas City, the two things that they both had was high-end pitching. and high octane pitching. One in the bullpen, and they could run those guys out. Everybody said that was a Cade Smith had the best fastball in baseball, and Class A is the best closer, and Hedges in his comments about being better than Mariano. And they took out Riggins and Casey, and then they went and said their bullpen, go, no problem. We'll take you out too. So it's, you know, the Dodgers can hit. There's no doubt about that, and they're going to put up runs. But I see Yankees in six. I see them taking one in L.A. to jump this, and then it comes back to the Bronx, and we go back up 3-2 because we're just going to be on the attack.
David, you're the man. I got a break. I'll text you. Thanks for the call. 888-808-1019 to piggyback what he was just talking about. The Yankees are road warriors. Would they go 50-31 in the regular season? The best road team in baseball? Then on this postseason, right? The regular season is not the postseason. They go 4-1 on the road. Barely lost that game to the Guardians. Oh, also, they play up to their competition. The regular season is not the postseason. I repeat, the regular season is not the postseason. But the Yankees' record was much better in the regular season against teams over 500. Let me pull a stat before we break. I'm getting to it, Manny. I know. Versus under 500 teams, the Yankees went 24-20. The stat is from August 28th in my notes. They were the 22nd team versus scrub teams. But they were first against teams above 500. They went 54-36 by the time we got to late August against good teams. Here comes the quote-unquote best team in baseball. Keith McPherson on the fan. We got to take a break here and bring in Chris Kirschner covering your Yankees for The Athletic. Let's hit the break. I'll be right back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
New York City! Another 5-hour KM to AM. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll get to you. Right now, joining us is Chris Kirschner from The Athletic, covering your New York Yankees, hailing from the BX, the Bronx. What's up, Chris?
How's it going, Keith?
Good, man. I know it was awkward when I ran down on you this morning.
No worries. I was like, who is coming up on me?
In the Bronx. I wasn't eating at the McDonald's. I was over there in the shade plotting and figuring out some things. Like, I was trying to find a New York Post because the Post came out with this Star Wars Shohei and Judge, this graphic, and nowhere around there had the New York Post. So I was trying to figure out, like, I don't know, Googling, like, where to get the New York Post, newspapers nearby, and Apple Maps. And then I look and I see you, and I'm like, I've been trying to get this guy on the show for weeks. Now's the perfect time. I won't have a show like this before the World Series. And I knew where you were heading. You were heading to the workout day in Yankee Stadium. So we'll start there. Tell us what you saw. Tell us how amazing it is to see the World Series logo on the screen, and the field painted, and all that other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, seeing the World Series logo on the Jumbotron is pretty awesome. You know, just growing up here in the city, never made it to a World Series game. My family did not have the money to get World Series tickets, but just being on the field today and seeing that at Yankee Stadium is pretty surreal. You know, like most kids growing up in the city playing baseball, you know, I grew up wanting to play for the Yankees. I was not good enough to play for the Yankees, but I do feel like this is certainly, you know, it makes up for my my lack of baseball acumen from back in the day. But as far as the workout goes, really nothing happening, just batting practice, ground balls. It's not like you can gain much insight into what's happening with the team or which way they might be leaning with certain roster decisions. You really never glean that sort of stuff with the workouts, but definitely seems like everybody's in good spirits, lots of smiling going on. And I think they're ready to compete on Friday out in Los Angeles.
Yeah, you bring up, you know, growing up as a kid playing baseball in the city, and you immediately made me think of Anthony Volpe, and there's a ton about him being at the last World Series parade, you know, after the ALCS. I think Meredith asked him, she said, you know, you grew up dreaming of playing in the World Series, and he immediately said, no, I grew up dreaming of winning the World Series. Like, he's been good. And I kind of predicted that. There were a lot of people down on him towards the end of the year. And I think you even put out some numbers that raised our eyebrows. Yeah. Like, this is not good. Let's speak about Anthony Volpe, a kid that is actually living the dream that we all had. He's the shortstop of the New York Yankees. Here's another tidbit. The last ALCS I met Volpe, he was at the game. I met him in Andrew Levy's perfect suite, and he didn't sit down. He looked like he wanted to be on the field so bad. And now he gets the chance, and I think he's ready for it.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a surprise for the Yankees in the postseason. There's clearly been an approach change with Volpe. You know, he's swinging the bat much harder than he was in the regular season. I do wonder if that week off helped him more than anybody else on the team. And I do think that moving forward, you know, next regular season, maybe that is a strategy that the Yankees do go with Volpe and giving him more off days, because he basically played in every single game this year. And I think that is part of the reason why his offense struggled so mightily in the regular season, because this is not the Volpe that we saw in the regular season. You know, his at-bats have been so much better than what we saw throughout the 162. Like I said, he's swinging harder, and usually when you swing harder, you're able to do more damage, and he's been getting really good contact. Not to say that he's been, you know, hitting home runs like Giancarlo, but you can tell that he's hitting the ball much harder than he was throughout the regular season. I think his discipline at the plate has greatly increased. He's not chasing much at all, and that's led to him having production at the bottom of the order. Like, if you go back in this Cleveland series, the bottom of the order really did damage against the Guardians, especially their bullpen arms. And that's really starting with Volpe. Volpe's done a really great job. Anthony Rizzo at the bottom of the order has done really well. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's encouraging that the Yankees have seen this version of Volpe in October, because I do think it probably provides hope that, you know, come next season, this is the version of Volpe that they get to go along with him being a Gold Glove caliber shortstop as well.
Yeah, this is when it matters the most. I mean, I've said that for all of these guys. As Yankee fans, we are hard on our guys, but we forget and forgive things from the regular season if you get it done in the postseason. And we have so many guys doing that right now. Like, when you think about the guys that have shown up from Alex Verdugo to Clay Holmes to Giancarlo Stanton, Gleyber Torres, like, these were guys that fans were done with, said, no, don't even play him. Don't even put him out there. Cut him. Get rid of him. Now we're like, yeah, that's my guy right there. Like, there's something to be said about the regular season versus the postseason and what it takes to be great when it matters the most. Your thoughts?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I've been writing that, you know, a good October can definitely make fans forget about everything that happened in the 162. I mean, when the calendar flips to October, you know, before Clay giving up the home run the other night to David Fry to walk it off, I mean, he was, you know, had a scoreless streak, I think, of 15 and a third innings. He was closing in on Mariano's 16-inning scoreless streak to start his postseason career. And everybody wanted Holmes off the roster. You know, they laughed at Aaron Boone when he said that this guy was getting big postseason outs. That he was good. I definitely think he was gassed in these past couple of outings. You know, before then, he had pitched in every single postseason game. And for relievers who usually don't pitch every single day, you know, that gets on you. So I think he deserves a lot of credit for what he's been doing in the postseason. And I think, number one, Gleyber deserves a ton of credit for what he's done at the top of the order. I think I saw a stat the other day that him and Soto have combined for, I think, three outs only in the first inning over these nine postseason games that the Yankees have played. And just starting off with pressure on opposing pitchers, like we've seen what that has done for every pitcher that they have seen so far throughout the postseason. So I think he deserves a ton of credit. And also he hasn't made any mistakes in the field. I think that was a big concern for fans, and not only fans, but honestly, people I've talked with in the organization, they were worried about that. And that hasn't come up so far. So I think he absolutely deserves a ton of credit for how he's performed in October.
Yeah, I'm extremely happy for him. I've been talking about, you know, it's a farewell tour. I was saying that back in like September, but maybe not. Now the conversation is, wait a minute, like, you know, we'll get there. And, you know, speaking of that conversation we're going to get to, Juan Soto, I've already been having it. Juan Soto is ridiculous. Juan Soto is a dog. He's a competitor. Yeah. He's the type of guy that when you see that in your clubhouse and on the field in your building, you try to keep that because that's different. That level of compete, that level of dialed in that he has is crazy. I don't care to talk about the $700 million, but let's talk about the fact that the Yankees went out and traded for Juan Soto after going 82-80. And that's when, I mean, I remember being in here when that news broke. And I'm like, we're back, baby. And fast forward all of these months, we're back in the World Series. And he's been a huge part of this run.
I mean, he is absolutely incredible. I really have lost words to describe what we're watching with Soto. I mean, that at bat the other night in game five, when he hits the three-run homer, like obviously, you know, you expect him to come through in that spot. You're not expecting a home run, but you expect him to go up there and do something, whether it's get a base hit, and I forget who was on second. Maybe Glaber was on second. I don't remember now. I think it was Alex Verdugo. But you just expect him to come through with like an RBI single, and the Yankees have the lead. But as he's fouling off the pitches, and Hunter Gaddis was one of MLB's best relievers in the regular season. This is a guy who had an ERA under 2 in 75 appearances this year. One of the nastiest changeups in the sport. Just a really just disgusting pitcher. And you have Soto just making just enough contact to keep the at-bat alive. And to Gaddis's credit, like he was not missing his spots. Even the home run that Soto hit, he barely missed his spot at the top of the zone. Like they wanted that fastball a little higher and out of the strike zone, and Soto ended up catching up to it. But I think for me personally, you know, this is year two on the beat. I started in August 22, so basically 2.5 years on the beat. That is the best at bat that I've seen over these past 2.5 years. I just can't imagine an at bat passing that, because that was absolutely remarkable to witness in person. It's unbelievable, honestly.
We're on the phone right now with Chris Kirschner. He covers the Yankees for The Athletic. He just told you he got with the team in August of 2022. Chris, that guy called game. That's all that was. That guy in the moment.
Yeah.
I talked about it. My last show was on The Fan Thursday. I could tell he was pissed off. He wasn't happy with the pitch clock violation to start that game. Game three that they lost.
Yep.
And then he also was not cool with getting rung up and like the bat being taken out of his hand on called strikes. And I literally called it. I'm like, mark my words, Juan Soto is going to impact the rest of the series. He hits the first home run in the next game. He hits the last home run to send the Yankees back to the World Series for the first time in 15 years. And, you know, all I kept hearing was, oh, Gaddis and Herron and Class A. Once you get to those guys, it's over. The Yankees don't stand a chance against those guys. It's a series now. No, it's not. And there's another guy that imposed his will in Giancarlo Stanton. I call him a postseason monster. I think that teams have nightmares over what this guy is able to do. I don't know why they even pitched him. Like, if you throw him a fastball in the zone, like, he might miss an off-speed pitch, but, like, he's going to send that. And he is a stone-cold killer. And he won MVP, and he has been so great in the media when you've been able to see him, when you've talked to him. Like, he seems unaffected. He seems unfazed. He seems like job's not finished. There's more to do. And I love that about him, because he's a guy that deals with the criticism the same way as the praise. He gets booed. People wanted to get rid of him. He's hurt every year. Cashman even called him out on the injuries. And look what he's been able to do. Let's talk about Stanton for a minute.
I mean, there are no words for what Giancarlo is doing right now. He has the fourth best OPS out of every player that's played in postseason in Yankees history. You know, the three guys above him are Ruth, Gehrig, and Reggie. You know, that's the company that Giancarlo has right now in October baseball. Throughout his tenure, it's not just this year that he's been coming through. Like, he's been their best hitter for the entirety of his Yankees career. You know, when the month, when the calendar flips to October, you can count on Giancarlo coming through. It doesn't matter how he's looked in the regular season. Doesn't matter, you know, how foolish he may look in certain at-bats. He is going to come through. I was stunned when they pitched to Stanton in game five with first and second open and Jazz hitting behind him, mm-hmm. and Jazz has struggled offensively. It's like, why are you taking your chances with Giancarlo when he's in one of these zones? Like, we've seen Giancarlo get in these zones before where he can carry the Yankees offense by himself. And he's currently in that zone right now. And I just could not believe Stephen Vogt decided to pitch to Stanton that in that moment with Jazz on deck. It made no sense. And then Stanton hits the ball 450 feet, which is what he does. So it's remarkable to witness Stanton. And like you said, he is a very stand-up guy. You know, he's dealt with a lot throughout his Yankees tenure. You know, injured every single year. You mentioned Cashman saying, you know, basically calling him out for being injury prone. It was like, I remember back in spring training, that first day that we spoke with Giancarlo, like, obviously it was apparent instantly that he had lost weight. We asked him about, you know, Cashman's comments in the off season, and you can tell that he was definitely pissed off about him, but he wasn't going to make it a bigger deal than it was. And I think that is something that the team appreciates, the front office appreciates. Everything that is thrown Stanton's way, he's handled it with grace. When the fans have got on him numerous times over these past few years, he said, you know, I would boo me too. I'm not playing well. I think those things go a long way with gaining respect from a fan base that can be intense, and I think he's handled it absolutely masterfully.
Yeah, not a bad word about Stanton ever. There will be no sneak dissing. There will be no booing Stanton. That's done. We're back in the World Series. And you know what's funny? I was watching them, and I love watching any team hoist a trophy, you know, win the league, the conference, win the whole thing. I like those emotions that come out when the team gets to put on the hats and the shirts and lift the trophy were great. I was live on Instagram, and I had to turn my Instagram off because I'm like, no, I need this. I need to see Hal Steinbrenner lift that trophy. I need to see Brian Cashman exhale. I need to see Aaron Boone smile ear to ear knowing that they're back in the World Series. And it got a little awkward because Stan wins the MVP. And there's chance for Stan MVP. MVP, the guys are chanting it. And I know we were chanting MVP in the stadium for Stan, but the actual MVP is going to be Aaron Judge. And I'll ask you about Aaron Judge after I give you some numbers and I say this. In the last series in the National League, I previewed that series saying we're going to see who the real NL MVP is, who shows up between Francisco Lindor and Shohei Ohtani. It was Ohtani, completely. Now we're going to see Ohtani versus Judge, and in 10 career games versus the Dodgers, Judge is 14 for 36, batting .389, 8 home runs, 2 doubles, 5 walks, a 1575 OPS. He's a Cali boy going back to Cali. I think this is it for Judge's legacy. I think if he has a good World Series, he got the monkey off his back a little bit because he hit some home runs, worked some walks, he wasn't completely struggling. I think this is a legacy World Series for Aaron Judge. He has to be a big factor. And he has to pick up some of the weight. It can't just be Stanton. It can't just be Soto. He has to be involved as well.
Yeah, I mean, for the Yankees themselves, they have yet to face an offense as potent as the Dodgers. You know, not to disparage Kansas City or Cleveland, but, you know, they don't have the amount of talent in their lineups that the Dodgers possess. You know, you get through the top three for the Dodgers, that's Betts, Ohtani, Freeman, whatever order that they're going to roll him out there, but you have Max Muncy, Tommy Edman, who was a killer against the Mets. Will Smith, I know he's struggling, but he's a really good offensive catcher. They have a ton of talent in that lineup. So, like you said, it can't just be Stanton. It can't just be Soto. Like, you need Judge to also pull his weight. You know, the thing with Judge, like, even though that he's not performing to the level that we saw in the regular season, I never really concerned myself with Judge coming through just because he is an otherworldly hitter, and it's always with him just a few at-bats away from being greatness. Now, obviously, with the World Series, there are only a finite number of at-bats coming, so, you know, for the Yankees' sake, you hope that it is in Game 1 that he shows that, you know, he is locked in at the plate. I think what he did in that at-bat against Class A the other night, where he took him the opposite field, that wasn't a bad pitch at all by Class A. I think it showed me that, you know, his timing was right and he was locked in. So maybe that does carry over a little bit in the series. I know he struggled in that game right after that. But again, it's never a question of, you know, can Judge, you know, look good at the plate. I think he's always close to being locked in. Even when he was struggling in April, it seemed like it was just a timing thing. So we'll see. I do think that he definitely needs to come in. And also with the amount of attention that this World Series is going to have with him versus Ohtani, Yankees, Dodgers, obviously the historical element at play, it would be incredibly massive for just his legacy if he were to dominate this series. You know, he's already on track to being one of the best players in this franchise's history. But if he goes out and dominates against Shohei, I think that would add another level to his legacy.
Oh, I'm getting pumped up. Yo, I cannot wait for this. All right, well, last thing, but I'll let you go. You know, that Judge moment and then Stanton, a back-to-back and a belly-to-belly, like, that would have been bigger if they won that game. They lost it in 10 innings. And they also used Tim Hill, Ian Hamilton, Tim Mazza, Tommy Canley, Luke Weaver, Clay Holmes. And then folks started saying, I was on that night, people, oh, we're in trouble. The bullpen's taxed. How are they going to get out of this one? I tipped my cap to Brian Cashman earlier because I wanted Tanner Scott. I wanted Michael Kopech. I wanted to see if we could get Mason Miller because I felt like we didn't have enough. I also did not want Clay Holmes on the roster as a closer, but he became a weapon. And you know what? Something that we can always count on is New York Penn Station all stops here. That's my nickname for the Yankees bullpen. Every year, no matter who they bring out, they get stops. No matter who they bring out of that bullpen, it can be journeymen like a Tim Hill. It can be guys that no one even thinks, like Mark Leiter Jr. How did I not say Mark Leiter Jr.'s name in this show yet? Like, what? Mark Leiter Jr. Nobody wanted Mark Leiter Jr. on the postseason roster. Ian Hamilton gets hurt covering first base. They call this guy up, and he plays a huge part. I give credit to Cashman. I give credit to Boone. I give credit to Mike Harkey. I give credit to Matt Blake. Like, this bullpen has been so solid with guys that, like, nobody expected. It isn't Jonathan Loaisiga. We gave up Michael King. Like, these guys are getting it done. Can you speak to the bullpen, their impact, and then obviously the guys that put them together?
It's really been unbelievable. I was definitely a critic of the bullpen for basically the entirety of the season, and things started shifting in mid-September, like right after they moved Luke Weaver to the closer role. And Weaver also needs to be mentioned in that. This is a guy who last year thought his career was about over, had the worst ERA in baseball last year, gets DFA'd by two teams, and is ready to call it quits, basically. The Yankees call him. They see something in him. They take a flyer. Obviously, last year's record wasn't ideal, but they did get a look at Luke Weaver last September and felt like he had something left in the tank. And after, you know, a couple of tweaks to his mechanics in the offseason, he's developed into arguably the best reliever in baseball this year. So Weaver also deserves a lot of love from the fan base. But I think for the Yankees, they figured out their roles over these past few weeks. Like, Weaver's got the ninth. Canley can get the eighth. Holmes can get the seventh. If you need lefties out, Tim Hill is your guy. And really, especially in October, if you have four or five guys who you can count on to get outs, that's massive, because a lot of teams don't have that luxury, and the Yankees have figured out the collection that they have that works for them. And I do think that, you know, Brian Cashman in the front office deserve a lot of credit here, because they have found these guys when they've been cast offs and misfits for other organizations. Tim Hill and Jake Cousins, former White Sox, the worst team in MLB history. And now they're huge pieces for the Yankees bullpen. The other night, Cousins comes in, gets four outs, and it's four strikeouts, and he looks unhittable. His slider was ridiculous. His sinker had so much movement on it. That's someone who, you know, going into the Dodger series could also play a huge role for them. So I think a lot of different people deserve a lot of credit for believing in this bullpen and sticking with them when a lot of people, myself included, really didn't think that they had enough bullpen wise heading into October. They've proven me wrong for sure.
It's good to be wrong. Chris, you're the man. I took up a half hour of your time tonight. I'll let you get back to it. Let's go Yanks. I got Yanks in six, and I'm a Yankee homer. Of course I do.
I mean, I think the Yankees have a good chance. It's an even matchup, but we will see what happens.
We will. You're the man, and your line of questioning is great. I know your voice. I know when you're applying pressure on Boone or whoever it is, and keep doing your thing, man. You crush it, and you represent people from New York, from the Bronx. And I think you do a great job doing what you do.
I appreciate it, Keith.
888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Now we've got a half hour. We'll take a break. We'll take your calls, and then I'll bring in my next guest, Fabian Ardaya from the Dodgers beat on The Athletic. And I'll ask some questions about those Dodgers. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. AKA Weavy Wonder. The dream has happened. The dream has been realized. The New York Yankees will take on the Los Angeles Dodgers in the Fall Classic this Friday. Keith McPherson back on the Fan, taking your calls at 808-808-1019. It is 83-57 Celtics on the parquet floors of TD Garden. We'll get to that in a little bit. Josh in the Bronx, thanks for holding. You're on the Fan.
Hey, no problem, Keith. How's it going? Anyway, I just want to say, great show, great guests, great information on the Yankees. Just one thing. To the young men, women, children, boys and girls, enjoy this World Series. If you haven't experienced it, there's nothing like this. Just listen to my man, KM to AM, Keith McPherson. Take it away, Keith. You know it.
Thanks for the call, Josh. You're the best. Josh is hilarious. Josh, I got to meet Josh when WFAN and T-Mobile did the kickoff to this season in Times Square at the T-Mobile store with Cecil Fielder and Paul O'Neill. And it's just great to break that wall down with callers. And he's also active on Twitter. He says, I'm not going nowhere. I got all night. I'm on hold. I'm enjoying your show and your takes, of course. You have great guests. Keep it up. I'm enjoying the show. No reply necessary, Josh in the Bronx. My boy Alex out in Lakewood on the Fan. Go for it, Alex.
What's up, Keith?
Watching the Knicks. It is. It's the first game with a new team. It should be expected that going against a cohesive unit, the defending champs, who are literally running. We'll get to that later.
First of all, about the Yankees.
Yeah, we should keep it Yankees.
Not my first time seeing my team in a championship, but second.
What other teams you root for?
Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh, that's right. I remember you and I having the conversation about the Knicks. Like, I don't know what they're talking about. Giannis is coming back. Dame in year two. We will get there. Basketball is coming. But it's baseball time still. We've run through October. How are you feeling as a young Yankees fan getting to really enjoy your first World Series coming up?
Really good.
Euphoric already. It hasn't even happened, right? Just the thought of, like, this is mine. This is the one.
Mm-hmm. Can I get a Jets in for a minute?
If we must.
I think they're not out of it yet. They could still, like, if
they
win,
lose four in a row.
Win.
They lost four in a row?
if they win New England and then you if you just play a good game against the Texans, C.J. Stroud had a terrible game on Sunday, then you're back in it.
Alex,
and it's
they
not
fooled
like
me for the last time. I did my NFL picks wrap on 94.7, and I picked them to win. And I just thought with Davante Adams, Russell Wilson's first start, I thought like if there ever was a time, I thought that offense was clicking. Now I'm like, look at how the lanes are opening up for Breece. No, they found a way to lose again. They're not good. And this is not good. And Aaron Rodgers is not as good as we thought.
What about Hassan Reddick?
What about him?
I heard he like came out of his holdout or something.
Well, yeah, he's out of nowhere, right? He signed with Drew Rosenhaus. Rosenhaus's agent is like, hey, buddy, the trades aren't happening this late in the season. Lions aren't interested. Your best bet is to sign with the Jets. They could use you. But I don't think he's a game breaker like that. I don't think he's going to make that much of a difference. And the problem here really isn't the defense. It's the offense. The offense scored, what, 15 points? Nah, it's the offense, man. But good that Hassan Reddick is here. It gives you more hope. But like I said, fool me, can't fool me again.
Well, if you lose, just lose out. If you win, just win out. Like, I don't want
that's what I said. They just lost four in a row. They got to win the next four in a row at least.
I don't want in between them getting the 13th overall draft pick or the 15th overall draft pick.
It's too
late. That's the worst situation.
It's too late, my boy. Blame Woody Johnson. He fired the coach in week five. He fired the coach in week five.
Oh, I don't need Rodgers next year. Just get me a clean house.
Exactly. Well, they're on the fast track to cleaning house. Everybody's gone. Everybody's going to be done. Like, I just blame Woody Johnson. He should be irate. Everybody should be fired, himself included. But he's not going to fire himself.
Well, he's going to get fired at the end of this year, hopefully.
He owns the team. Joe Douglas will get fired.
No, I mean Joe Douglas.
Yeah, Joe Douglas will get fired. But Woody, like, what a mess, man. What a mess. J-E-T-S, just end the season. Anything else? Anything else?
Nope. Let's go Bucks.
Let's go Bucks. You're supposed to say, let's go Yanks, Alex. We're going to the World Series.
Let's go Yankees also.
There it is. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the fan. Marco Belletti coming your way with the update as we roll into the 9 o'clock hour. 2 hours down, 3 hours to go. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Fan.